Hello, TSF family. We wanted to start off by saying thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast and for your hard work to love yourself more and for your feedback.
Can you believe it's been 3 years that we've been doing this spiritual fix, and it has been such a beautiful labor of love for Anna and me.
We have loved doing this work. We've loved hearing from you, and we love exploring ourselves and each other alongside our listeners.
We wanted to put out the call for 3 ways that you can help support us to support you.
One, we would love you to leave us a review on iTunes or follow us on Spotify.
2, drop us an email and let us know how much the podcast means to you.
And 3, you can donate monthly or even just once to our PayPal patronage.
Every little bit helps, and we are so grateful to those of you who have donated already. Thank you.
You help make this podcast possible.
Thanks, y'all.
You can go to our website, www.thisspiritualfix.com, for information on how to pledge as well as to email us.
This Spiritual Fix presents
TSF Shorts,
a potluck of preludes between episodes.
Please enjoy this interview with our brave TSF listener, Stacy, who is an amazing artist and mother and soul in the world.
Hello, Anna.
Hey, Christina.
And hello, Stacy. Welcome, Stacy. Welcome to this Spiritual Fix. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to meet you guys.
Yeah, Stacy, we are so grateful to you for wanting and being willing to come on to the podcast to talk about your primal wounds and your experience with it. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a spiritual medium. I'm an end-of-life doula. I'm a channeling artist. A lot of things that I didn't discover until recently, till I started healing a lot of things. So I try. I don't know.
Amazing.
I'm just figuring things out.
I was like, can we just talk about what you must have seen in your time as a medium and an end-of-life doula?
Yeah, it is. Definitely a wild ride. It's so fun, but I didn't seek out any of it. It came to me, and with the mediumship especially, I was put through a boot camp with spirit. So it brought out every single insecurity, every single piece of wound, from any of them that could ever come out, and I'm better for it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Anna, do you want to start?
Yeah, well, first I want to say thank you for talking about the humiliation wound, which we're going to get to in a bit, because I think of all the wounds, talking about your wound on a podcast, the humiliation wound of all the wounds is this in itself is a therapy for this wound. Being here talking about the humiliation wound is probably the most challenging thing to do if that is your primary wound. So I commend you for being here today, and I thank you so much for reaching out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. The first time when you guys were saying that you were having a hard time finding people, I think it was with, I can't remember if it, the one before humiliation that you guys did. And then when I heard it again, I was like, okay. And I kept feeling like a nudge, like I'm supposed to do it. And then I really thought, I was like, okay, I'll do it. But I really thought that you guys would have already had someone. And then when you responded, okay, I was like, all right, wait, what am I doing? But I'm happy to do it.
I'm sure many listeners are thankful you're here to talk about it. So thanks.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I guess the first question I have is, how did our Primal Wound series kind of wake up in you your understanding of your own primal wounds?
So there's, so many wounds and layers to all of them. And I was only ready the first time that you guys played them, I was only ready to see some of them. And humiliation, even though it's me to a T, I didn't really I wasn't ready for that one, so there were some other ones that I felt like I tackled first. And it was really what you guys said, you're opening up kind of a portal for us, and we just, so all of this stuff just kept coming up. And I was like, okay, if it's coming up, it's ready to be healed. And so I was just tackling it, you know, one piece at a time. And then the humiliation wound was the last one and the hardest one. And I think that I'm still working through some stuff, and I probably always will be, you know, working through pieces of it. But I feel like I've tackled a big chunk of it. So,
yeah. No, I would agree and with the sentiment that it's so hard, because I also feel like, because it's, I locate it in the root, like it's in the root chakra, there's mm-hmm. a lot of generational stuff that comes with it as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of societal stuff that comes with it as well, which yeah. makes it so particularly daunting as a wound.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, like, I know that some of mine is generational. Like, I'm, you know, in, I have a good relationship with my ancestors. And so I know that the work that I'm doing, you know, in regards to that is important. But sometimes it's just so deeply rooted, like fear, you know, things like that coming up, where I don't even feel fearful. I just feel like it's a habit to be in fear. And I get so frustrated with that, because I'm like, I've done all this work, and, you know, I know, again, like, you know, it's something that we're going to always continue to do, but it's frustrating when I can see that it's a habit and then have to, like, stop myself. You know, it just feels like, oh wait, I have like free space in me, you know, that is meant for good things to come in. And then fear wants to fill that spot. So it is very like, you have to catch yourself, and it's hard to do that.
That's a wonderful way of describing it. I really, mm-hmm. that's a beautiful way of describing it. What do you feel were kind of the experience, the main experiences you had as a child or from your ancestors or anything that has contributed to your humiliation wound?
I feel like when I was a kid, I automatically took on everything. Like, that was my choice. Like, I don't know when you're a kid if you make that choice, but, you know, consciously, but that is just what I did, you know, who I am, to take care of everything. So I felt like failure and shame were just always there, you know, ever since I was little. And my parents got divorced when I was 3, and I remember thinking, okay, now I have to take care of my mom and take care of my brother, and you know, just all of these things. And like, because I love my family so much, like, I didn't want what I perceived as their shame to affect them. So I wanted to take on their shame as well.
Wow. That's, yeah. And having memory and having actual visceral memory of being that young and wanting to take away their pain. I mean, it lends so much to where you are in life, right? With this understanding of being a healer. It's just mm-hmm. that automatic reaction when you're even that young to want to take away the pain of shame from your family. That's just, that's very, very intense of an experience. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Of course.
Aww, it's like, I want to cry for that little 3-year-old, but I also find it so beautiful, you know, that a child that young would be so empathetic. So it's bittersweet. How do you think that this primal wound has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, patterns, or relationships?
It has definitely shaped me in a lot of ways. So, like, I wrote things down when you guys played the most recent airing of it, and of, like, the lack of freedom, the self-imposed rules, you know, like, all, like, the list, every single thing was check, 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 you know, like, I had it all. And so I kept myself in, like, this little box, you know, because of shame, because of guilt, and feeling like I'm never good enough. Sorry, I'm a crier. So if you hear me crying, that's who I am. I always put people above me. And then when you do that, you know, it's like, you can never be good enough. And you're just always setting yourself up to fail. And so that's what I've always felt, you know, the shame of that, and the shame of not being able to do what I want to do was to take care of other people, you know? And so, yeah, that's affected a lot of my relationships. It's affected me deeply and where to the point where I was like, okay, I don't even know who I am anymore. Right. So I know that when I was an adult, like, I know I'm a mom, I'm a, you know, I'm a wife, I'm, you know, I'm a cake decorator, like, you know, things like that. But who am I, you know? And then I felt guilty for even questioning those things, because I'm like, I have a good life, I'm happy, you know, I am lucky to have a husband and a daughter that love me and a family that's supportive. Like, so I felt even guilt and shame for even questioning those things. And then I started to realize that I can be all of those things while still being myself. You know, like, I couldn't even tell you before, like, what hobbies I had, because I didn't have any. You know, I just genuinely didn't know who I was. And that was really scary, to not be able to, like, pick out any pieces of yourself. So I feel like I was pushed to a point where I had to, like, I was, like, kind of forced to see who I am, you know, because everything else, like, was taken away from me that would identify me other than those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that, you can feel like the mask of humiliation is masochism. So it feels like, and you can expand on this, is that the masochism was denial of identity.
Yeah. It very much was. And to the point that, like, when I was 30, I got cancer, and that doesn't run in my family, you know, and I know that it's now I know that it was me not feeling good enough, me, you know, denying who I am, me always trying to achieve certain things and not being able to do it because I put everyone above me, you know. And so that was a big wake up call too, you know, is that look at how badly I was denying myself that I gave myself cancer.
Yeah.
That's wow. That. And then seeing, like, when I did have cancer, like, how much I hurt people by having it. And that took a long time to heal that too. You know, it's just seeing the look on their faces of how I was hurting them. And you know, that's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. And then at the same time, recognizing that, you know, their hurt, you know, in some ways is really just a reflection of their love for you.
Right.
You know, and when we're in the space of, you know, especially when we've put ourselves below people hierarchically, right, that there's, like, you know, we see that as, oh, we're hurting them. But truly, you know, it's them expressing their love for us, right? Them expressing their concern for us. And yes, it may hurt them, but what's primary in that is always you, right? And I can imagine how that healing process must have been. Can you describe a little bit more of how that healing process went for you, in terms of, like, seeing their faces be hurt by you being sick, by you being the one that's sick?
Yeah, I honestly don't even know that I've truly healed all of that. And that was, like, 10 years ago, because it was so hard to look at. You know, that's what I would see, is their faces looking at me and just, like, I'm the reason that they have to come to the hospital. I'm the reason that they have to be uncomfortable. I'm the reason, you know, that they're questioning, like, their own mortality. You know, I'm the reason why they're hurting, you know. And yeah, that sticks with you, you know. And I didn't even want to look at myself, you know, after that, because I just felt so guilty. And at the time, I didn't know it was because of my emotions, but it was just a heavy load. And I know all of them, you know, would say that, no, that they didn't feel like that I was causing them pain. And so, again, that was just me punishing myself, you know. But I never let myself actually experience that, you know, or I guess I tried not to pay attention to it, you know, for a long time,
right,
until recently, where I was like, okay, I need to be, like, my authentic self. And by trying to figure out who that is, I need to let go of layers of that and, like, you know, get into it, and so I can let it go.
Right. And to build up your self-worth, to know that you are worthy of being loved, you are worthy of care and concern. And you're also, you know, you're also worth it to be the lesson in other people's lives that you need to be, right? I mean, it's not all about everything being fun and peachy and games. We don't love people because everything's going to be perfect all the time. We love people because people help us, who we truly love, help us grow.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I could see in other people. Like, I'm happy to be there for them when they're going through whatever. And it, you know, it, I want to be, you know, someone that they can go to and sit with them, you know, in their darkest times. But it was, you know, it was shameful for me to have people do that for me in my darkest times because I didn't feel worthy of it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
So if the mask of the primal wound of humiliation is masochism, could you talk a little bit about your mask? Or do you think you already did when you talked about the lack of identity? Or were there other things you did to hurt yourself besides the cancer? Like, were there maybe self-abusive behaviors that you can think of, or was it mostly the lack of knowing your own identity?
I think that throughout my life, I've like sabotaged myself in different ways, you know, where I have continued to play small. And like one thing that's sticking out to me is not trying out for volleyball or soccer in high school. Like, it's something that's so small, but even now I'm like, I'm not saying I was good at them because I wasn't, but it's just that I didn't even try because I was already like, nope, you're not going to be good enough. You're not, you know, like, I didn't want to embarrass myself. And even actually the thought of if I did make the team was also like embarrassing, like then people would see me playing, you know, it's something so small, but it just, I feel like it's been just throughout my life where it just is, I didn't even always recognize it because it was just so much of who I was.
Right. And I think it's really nuanced how you noticed how it's shame and not fear of rejection, right? Because I feel like if it was a rejection wound, it'd be like, well, I'm scared they're going to tell me I'm not good enough. But you were already going in there saying you weren't. And then you had shame about succeeding in it even too. So, I mean, I feel like that just really, like, really shines a light on how different the wounds can show up.
And it also speaks to, you have a daughter who's in high school, right? And so that your daughter being in high school is bringing the lens and probably pulling up this high school memory for you because there's a resonance in your family, right? Like,
so that makes a lot of sense,
right? Like, oh, I remember, I don't know why this is always coming up. It's because that probably inner teenager inside of you who was really sad that you couldn't put yourself out there to do something that you probably would have enjoyed to do is stirred up by the presence of like someone else who's probably maybe going through something similar in your child.
Yeah. And she, my daughter is, you know, been playing competitive soccer since she was like 8, you know, and so she plays on the high school team, you know, she's just so confident, so much different than I was. And so it's nice to be able to see that. And then sometimes I will get shame about that too. Like, I didn't even let myself, you know, experience anything and look at her shining, and I'm happy to see her shining. So I'm not trying to, like, you know, dull her in any way. It just is, yeah, it's a good mirror for me to see, like, this is what you could have done. You could have experienced more if you let yourself, you know. So just it always comes back to that shame voice, you know, that lives there.
Yeah. And then it's hard because there's so many layers of it, right? Because you, even now by seeing your daughter, it's bringing up, it's like, I feel shameful that I felt shameful. And
right.
Like, I feel shameful that I felt shameful that I was shameful. And you're like, no, right. No.
Yeah. You're shaming your past self.
Yeah. Feeling the shame. And then you just got to say, wait, stop.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe say, wow, look how far I've come. Look how much generation. Yeah. Karmas I've healed that my daughter can shine like this.
Yeah, I do think that. And actually, it was your guys's podcast, and I can't remember it was a while ago. I don't even know what the subject was on, but you guys were talking about your kids and how you realized, I don't know which one of you, but you realized that your kids are separate people from you. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, my daughter had just started high school, I think, when I heard that. And it made so much sense. And our relationship changed so much for the better after that, because I was using her as a reflection of me. And I'm like, okay, you need to be like this, you know, imposing all of these things that I wanted her to be, because I didn't want to feel that shame. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, like she has her own reason for being here. Like she has her own things that she wants to do and what feels right to her. And that was like a completely, like, just life-changing thing to hear, because mm-hmm. yeah, like she is her own person who shines, and you know, I'm just here to kind of guide her, but she doesn't need me telling her, you know, what feels right to her, because I don't know. I don't even know what feels right to me sometimes.
Yeah, I think it was me and the abandonment wound. And it's funny you brought this up, and because I'm currently reading a book on sibling rivalry, which we'll do mm-hmm. a whole episode on siblings later. But one of the things is a lot of sibling rivalry comes from us not recognizing the autonomy of each child and recognizing mm-hmm. they are not a unit mm-hmm. and they don't have to be best friends. They don't have to get along all the time. They don't have to even like each other because they are different people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like learning it all over again, because I'm like recognizing that I've kind of put them in this group of like my kids. And my yeah. kids should get along. And like, why? You put two random people in a room, why should they get along? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And actually that kind of goes into, I'm having a little bit of friction with my brother, and we've always been really close. And so it was also that played into like my shame and guilt too, is that I saw him as a piece of me. You know, so if he wasn't doing things that I thought were the best for him, or where I could see him struggling and, you know, he didn't want my help, that was really hard for me. Cause I'm like, you know, you're a piece of me, you know, and I just realized like how codependent that was. And so we're still trying to work through all of that, but it's nice now that I can see like, okay, you're on your own path. I'm on my own path. You know, that makes things so much easier when you can remember that everyone has their own path and they have their own things that they have to go through. Like that is something that I tell myself a lot. I have to remind myself of that a lot. And it's nice that you can like be on your own path and shine the light for them, you know, while they're on their own path, but you don't have to be in it with them. That makes things a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you feel what have been some of your best tools for kind of moving through the humiliation wound?
Ho'oponopono has been great. Mm-hmm. And that I learned that from you guys too. And so I'll do that to myself a lot. But that does help me when I feel like I'm struggling in, you know, a relationship or something, or it just helps me, you know, as you start to uncover everything, you know, there's like we were saying, there's so many layers to everything. You're not always going to want to reach out to people, right? So to me, that's a really great way to do it, where you don't have to actually reach out to people, where you can, you know, you can energetically reach out to them, right? And so that's something that has helped me a lot. And then also another thing is past lives. You know, that is like what unlocked the key to me learning to love myself. I did a past life regression on myself through a meditation, and I was this like, when I went through, I saw this disgusting woman. Like she had like little patches of long straggly hair. She only had a couple of teeth. She had like boils on her face. She was like a hunchback, like just anything that you could think of that was disgusting. She knew that she could help people. She was a healer, but the village hated her and they burned her kids alive. And so she just died, you know, by herself and was in so much pain. And then I did the second regression and I saw her again and I was like, oh no, why do I keep seeing her? And I realized in that moment when I said, oh no, that I was her. And that I just held her face and told her how much I loved her and how beautiful she was. And she like transformed in front of me. But I realized, yeah, that what she looked like is how I felt about myself inside. And so when I was able to give her that love, you know, yeah, she transformed. And that was like the beginning of me like learning to love myself.
That's so beautiful. That's
so powerful. Yeah, past lives have been really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's thank you for sharing that.
Gave me chills. That's beautiful. Yeah. Oh no, I want to just send her Ho'oponopono too across the timelines.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you used some of the tools from the podcast, like jumping into past lives, which we don't necessarily give a step to or anything, but did you ever seek out additional therapy or coaching to help address the primal wound?
No, actually it was, I've done a lot of work with my spirit team. So I know I do think that therapy is helpful, but for me, like I was already told right away, like, okay, this is going to be like you and us. And I was like, okay, because that sounds scary. Mm-hmm. but that's what it's been, you know, and they've been a great support. You know, that's why I was able to connect so well with my ancestors. Like my great grandfather has been like the representative for them. So when I'm going through things where I feel like nobody else understands or where I feel alone, like I hug him, you know, and he supports me. And, you know, I know that I like connect with angels and my guides and all those things. But yeah, really, it's been my spirit team that has helped me through so much and has made me feel equal is the word they use a lot. Like that I was putting them above myself too, where, you know, I would put them on a pedestal and they'd be like, no, 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 we're all part of a team. We're equal. And so I'm like, okay, they have to remind me of that sometimes. But that really helped me a lot, helped my confidence and helped me like accept myself, like if, you know, because I did see them and put them on a pedestal, like if I can be as great as them, they're saying we're equal, then that's pretty great.
I love it. I love that. And I love that, you know, talk therapy or traditional counseling or medication, it's not for everyone. And like in your particular case, it's your great grandfather, right? I just love it.
Exactly.
So my next question is actually like a two-part question.
Okay.
And the first part of it is, you know, like we were saying before, and I love how honest you are, like, it's not like you just heal it. It's like, you know, you're going to learn to manage it and it's something you might always have. So mm-hmm. The first part of the question is what are some like everyday triggers that trigger your humiliation wound? And then how on a day-to-day basis, you know, are you managing that? Like you can't just, you know, I'm trying to think of like a situation where like you couldn't just stop and talk to your spirit guides, or maybe you do. Like what are the ways that you are managing it on the day to day, and what are the things that are triggering you on the day to day?
Okay. I mean, yeah, I still do get triggered sometimes, not as much as I used to. But I don't like being backed into a corner where I feel like I'm backed into a corner, and that triggers me instantly. But what I realized is that I'm the only one backing myself into that corner. And so I just have to kind of, I don't always realize it in that moment, you know, so sometimes I do react and sometimes I do get angry, you know, that brings out the worst in me where I feel like people are telling me I have to do something or I don't know, where I'm not good enough. I don't know how to explain it, but where I just feel like I have no other choice but to do what somebody else is telling me to do. And whether that's society, a lot of times it's society, and that pisses me off. Like, I just really don't like that because I don't feel like they, you know, society, that we know what we're doing. Like, I just, that's not, yeah, I just don't like that. but in the moments, like there's different things that I use. So, or if, let's say, I'm having a disagreement with my daughter, you know, she knows how to bring out all of the things in me. So she'll tell me, like, "Mom, you're acting like a 4-year-old." And I'm like, "Shit, she's right. I am acting like a 4-year-old." You know, whatever she says, and I think that she should, you know, kind of like going back to how we were raised, you know, or I was raised, right? Like, you should respect your elders, you should do all these things, like, you know, all the societal stuff we're taught. So sometimes I still will catch myself if she says something and I'm like, wait, I didn't like that tone or whatever, but that's me, you know, she's triggering that in me. So it's giving me an opportunity to heal that. But I will, a lot of times I just say, like, flow like water. You know, so I just remind myself, be like water, flow like water, just let it flow. It always works out. It's fine. A lot of times I do have to, like I said before, remember that we're all on our own path. Like, that probably has been, like, the biggest thing that has helped me. And yeah, I do talk to my guides, like, all the time, or my spirit team all the time. And sometimes I'm not ready to heal it. Like, honestly, you know, sometimes things come up and I just don't want to heal it at that moment, where I'm just like, no, it's too much. Like, I am frustrated that I feel like I'm always healing, like, where, you know, to the point, like, I would think that I was a fix it project, and I'm like, okay, I'm not, you know. So I would just hang on to it until I was in a better headspace to be like, all right, that really wasn't that big of a deal. Like, one good example I have that happened recently was, there's this Reiki place where I live, and, the lady was giving me the opportunity to come and rent a space from her for a while, but I had to have my business license. And that's something I had thought about off and on. And it is a good idea, but I felt backed into a corner, and not because of her, just because of the situation, right? And so that triggered me, and I was not ready to look at it. I did not want to look at why I felt that way and, you know, any of that stuff. And then I gave it a few weeks, and then I just recently applied for my business license. But it took a long time for me to get there, to, like, actually let myself not heal it until I was ready to heal it. So it was like taking away the pressure of having to heal it, I guess.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And there's so much that was coming up that my guides are telling me while you were saying that, like, how that same past life, probably a witch or a crone of some sort, literally had her children burned to death when she was known for whatever it is. And a business license mm-hmm. is a way of literally letting everyone know that you yeah. are effectively a witch in some way, you know, or not a witch, right. but like a medium yeah. or doing whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, was that what the license was for? Was like, was mm-hmm. that, yeah. And so yeah. you can see directly how it's like, you need to come into it in your own time. And also that reflecting on the fact that, like, so often it's like we self-reject. So before anyone else can reject, and we self-humiliate, yeah. we put ourselves down into a spot that's lower so that no right. one can put us into a spot that's lower. And then right. as soon as we start to try and break that pattern, other people are still, people are constantly in a patriarchal society, putting other people lower. Hierarchy is the entire yeah. basis of the system. And when somebody anticipates or puts you in a lower spot and makes you do something and says, "I'm going to tell you what to do," you know, mm-hmm. it really pulls that up, right? Because you're like, hey, yeah. I'm the one who's supposed to put me in a lower position. You're not supposed to, right?
Right. And for me too, it was like, you know, she believed in me, and so many people believe in me so much that puts a lot of pressure, you know? And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to shrink back down. Like, even though they're showing me, like, look, you can rise, you can be up here. And I'm like, no, like that, it just brought up so much.
Yes.
I have to ask you a question. Being an end of life doula, I can't help but think that it's healed your humiliation wound to a certain extent. Do you feel as if it has, or do you feel like it's played into it at all?
It's definitely changed my perspective just about life and why we're here and yeah. how everything works. Because, you know, death has always been something that's been so scary for everyone, and mm-hmm. what we're taught, right, is that it's just scary and then that's it. Yes. but it has helped me so much, like crawl out of the darkness, because it's helped me see the beauty that comes with the darkness, right? Yeah. And so that's something that I cherish, you know, being able to sit with people. And even sometimes I do it like with my mediumship. So I tap in energetically, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just so beautiful the way that people express themselves, they express their love, that the way that they see the world in their final moments, you know, it's really beautiful. And I guess it's helped me like not take things so seriously, you know, just to know that like the way that I was so like wound up and wrapped so tightly in, you know, in that box, like there is no reason for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need to keep myself in that box, because there's so much more around us. There's so much beauty around us. And when I was, you know, in that box, yeah, it felt dark and I felt alone. And now I can help people, you know, during their dark times, like,
yeah.
and not feel alone and help heal. Like the reason why I even started doing it was to help people heal things before they left. You know, so if they had things to like say to their families, or things that they just wanted to get off their chest, you know, things that they didn't have to carry with them to the next life.
Yeah. And that's such a, you can tell that your heart is just, has come to earth to alleviate the pain and to help with everybody else. And you know, and I can mimic in my own journey that the more that I recognize that I strengthen my own self-worth, the easier it is to help other people in that mm-hmm. way, right?
And
especially, being in a transition zone. So whether you're a birth doula or a death doula, like
mm-hmm.
being in one of those major transition zones, like the hierarchy of everything just seems so different.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody has hierarchy over death.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I do say too, is like, that's something that unites us. Like, I wish so many people could see that perspective, is that, you know, death is something that brings people together, because we all experience it, right? And we experience it in different ways, yes, but we all know what it feels like to lose someone, and we all know what it feels like to feel alone after they pass, you know, and we all know what it's like to carry things that we don't want to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just a great like connector, and it makes everyone equal, you know, like, so that it's just a great like equalizer. I don't know, that's what I was gonna
that's
say.
Great. Else. Yeah,
that's the word that came through.
That's what was coming to me too. Both of our teams are like, just say equalizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and that's I think what struck me as when you said that you were an end of life doula, like the fact that it is a great equalizer, in the sense that for you, with the experience of seeing that other people can cause you so much pain, you know, in that past life, and then for you not wanting to cause that sort of pain to anybody else, like having such a distinct memory of that. And, you know, it's like what I do with a lot of my clients, are just being like, you're not in that life anymore. We have to remind ourselves we're not in that life anymore. And yes, that pain can be caused. And yes, and yet we're not in that life anymore. And we're here to do it differently this time. And, and that even though we can cause other people great pain, and in our deaths, we can cause mm-hmm. people great pain, in our sickness, like you were talking about, like,
yeah,
cause people great pain. And yet the pain that you cause yourself in trying to prevent somebody else from causing pain, the pain is the lack of love that you're showing for yourself and your own ability to be here and to have whatever experiences you're having.
Yeah. I agree. That's profound. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of final thoughts on the humiliation wound and what you'd like to share with our listeners?
Okay. I'm gonna cry again. But you are all worthy. You are all perfect just as you are. And you don't need to change anything. You don't need to fix anything to be worthy. Healing is something that will happen along the way. Like, things will come up and you heal it, but it's not something that you have to seek out. And knowing that you're worthy while you're healing, I think, is something that is not talked about enough. And I honestly, like, we are all connected. And so just knowing that the more that you accept yourself, the more you can accept others. Mm-hmm. And it's going to open your life to see more beauty, to see more love, and to know that, yeah, you're perfect just the way that you are.
And that is profound, Stacey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing the art of your life. Truly. It's a work thank of you. Art, and it's a beautiful work of art. And thank you for being there and being willing to share it today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And remember,
humility, gratitude, acceptance, done.
Let me tell y'all a riddle. There are four girls and four apples in a basket. Every girl takes an apple, yet one apple remains in the basket. How is this possible? The answer? One girl took the basket. She took the last apple while it was in the basket. Sometimes all it takes is a perspective shift. This is my specialty, y'all, and I am opening up two spots in the next 2 months for dedicated journeyers to work with me to find peace, purpose, and most importantly, perspective. In these journeys, we co-create a curriculum that suits your current blocks, goals, and needs, and we use all the tools: shadow work, books, fiction, remote viewing, intuition, meditation, guided journeys, energy healing, dreaming techniques, you name it, we do it. And all to achieve a commonly held set of objectives. And if you're interested in hearing more, book a free call with me at www.chriswiltsy.com/discover.